Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We got different people on different sides today. Wow, where did this bunch go? I look over here and say, wow, new bunch over here today. Wow, new bunch over here today. All kinds of new people. Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. I even met a young lady back there a while ago from Arizona. Yeah, she said this, she'd been listening to me for 3 years and she come to see us today. So she's here today. So praise the Lord. It's good to have all of you though. All of you that are here, praise the Lord. As many of you know, we are a little bit unique out here. Did anybody see our new sign today? Did you get it? Wow, wow. I know, that's why there's so many of you here. We got a new sign. Praise the Lord, praise. Yeah, the boys put up a new sign this last week. Hopefully after tonight they'll have it turned on where they have power to it, where at night it'll even have power on where you can see it at night. So, wow, that's going to be something. I'm going to start out with a little kind of a scriptural joke. You know, it's not really a joke. It really did happen, but, it, you know, we laugh about this. The reason that inspired me was there's a gentleman walked in a while ago, and he come in and he put a couple of envelopes in the donation box. Then he come over to me and he says, you know, there's a friend of mine told me, said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to church. And he said, well, I went to church this morning and I forgot to put in my offering. So he said, since you're going this afternoon, let me give you my offering and you put it in the box when you get out there. So he said, okay, I'll do it. And then he told me, he said, you know, I wondered what the Lord would do if I kept it. But then he told me, he said, I wouldn't want to be anywhere close to me if I did that, would you? I said, no, I wouldn't want to be close because I got a funny feeling lightning might strike. And then I thought about the book of Acts. A real story from the Bible for a man and a woman by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, where they sold a piece of property. And some of you, I'm sure, have read this story. But this just goes to show the kind of God God is. So you don't want to tick him off. If there's anything you don't want to do, you don't want to upset God. So anyway, this couple, they had a piece of land and they wanted to sell it, and they did. And then the husband, he came to Peter and said, Peter, I sold the land for this much money. Now, he told a lie. He didn't tell the truth. And he said, I want to give it all to the church. Peter said, Ananias, why did you test the Lord? Did you not know that the land was yours? You could have done anything you wanted to do with it. You could have given him any portion of it or none of it. But you lied to God. Now, because you've lied, you're going to die. And bam, Ananias fell dead right there in church. Now, thank God we don't see things like this very often in church, for sure. But anyway, the three men came and picked up Ananias, and they drug him out and took him out there, and they dug a grave, and they buried him. Took him about 3 hours. Just about the time they got through burying him and got back to the church, his wife walked in. And Peter says, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell the piece of land for this much money? She said, yes, that's the price we got, and we want to give it all to the Lord. That's what Peter said. He said, why did you and your husband make up this story to lie to God? Do we not realize that God knows everything about everybody? You can't fool him, can you? I mean, so he says, why did you make up this lie to lie to the Lord? Did you not know that you could have given that money, any part of it? You could have not given any of it, but you didn't. You lied to God. Now, because you lied, the three men that just walked in the back are the men that just buried your husband. They will bury you also. And Sapphira fell dead. And it says, and great fear fell upon the church. I would think so. You know, and now I usually add this to the story. I mean, I know that God says if you don't tithe, now this was under the law. This is not under grace. But under the law, he says that you had to tithe under law. He said, now, if everybody that does not give me at least one-tenth of their income, their gross income, I, God, will curse you with a curse. Now then, today people don't believe that. I mean, the church does not believe that. I mean, I was a deacon at several Baptist churches, especially the last one was Lakeland Baptist Church, and I was also a deacon over here at Justin Baptist Church. And I worked on accounting committees. I worked on everything. I was in every office in the church. And if those guys were tithing, it's amazing the house they can live in and the cars they can drive on $100 a week. In other words, if a guy comes in and he's driving I've seen lots of people driving a new $80,000 car. You know, they come to church and of course, we don't take an offering. We don't even pass an offering plate. But if they do give their offering and they don't give some of it somewhere else and they just give a portion, you know, under grace, you better be glad you're under grace. Because if you wasn't under grace, God might decide to just do you the same way he did Ananias and Sapphira. And there's no idea. There's no telling. He may do people like that. I've seen the examples in the Word, so I don't want to put him to the test, do you? That's just like the other day. Now, I had a letter. Some of you that come here quite often, you know what I teach, and you've listened to my teachings, and you will know, you know that I teach that God will discipline you through the sickness of your children. Now, some people have a very hard time with that. In fact, this letter, we got this last week. Somebody said, you know, or we went somewhere, actually out here to the healing school, and then they went to their church, and it was telling their church why children are sick. And they said, we don't believe that. God would never do anything like that. God would never discipline a child to get to the parent. And it is very hard for people to swallow. But let me tell you, it is the truth. It is the truth. And I'm going to show you in Scripture before we go on to what we're going to talk about today. I mean, I just wanted to cover this at the beginning since we've had... There's so many things that happens to people and to their children. And if you don't know what's causing it, you can't get rid of it. In fact, I had a pastor contact me here a while back, and he said, Thurman Scrivener, you have got to stop teaching that sin and sickness are directly related. He said, you ruined a woman's life in my church. And so I called him. I said, how did I ruin a life of a woman in your church? He said, I have this sweet little lady that she works for us, and she's a great little lady, and she heard you teaching that sin and sickness are directly related. And then she realized that she had a son that had cerebral palsy, and she realized that later she got some of your teaching, and you said if you have a cerebral palsy child, you committed adultery with another person while you were carrying the baby in your womb. Everyone I've ever checked, that's been true. Every child that has cerebral palsy that I have ever examined, ever checked, got with the parents, the mother, while she was carrying the baby, the father or the mother, sometimes it's the mother too, but usually it's the father, but one of the two have committed adultery every time that you have a cerebral palsy child. Every time. So if I check out several people, and every time, just like I had a couple, was told by somebody to come here, and they had a cerebral palsy child. She was 3 years old, a little girl. So they came to see me. I didn't know this couple. They'd never been to church here. But when they came in, they just walked in off the street. I didn't know that one of my friends had told them to come see me till later. But anyway, they came in, and I sat down with them and asked them how I could help them. And they said, we have a little daughter here. She's 3 years old. She has cerebral palsy. I said, okay, y'all come on in. And we went to the ministry room. We sat down, and I said, my first question, while you were carrying this child in your womb, did you or you, sir, commit adultery? And boy, she turned to him and says, he did. I mean, it didn't take her that long to say, he did. I said, sir, did you do that? He said, yes, I did. And he said, I'm so sorry I did it. I said, well, sir, that's why your child has cerebral palsy. Because the scripture says every act of sexual immorality will be judged. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? If God said in his word, and he, in fact, Hebrews 13:4, I want us to put Hebrews 13:4 up there, and I want you to see it yourself. If this is written in God's word, does God always mean what he says? See, that's why last week or week before last, when we were in Lansing, Michigan, one of the men came up and he said, Thurman, I have learned listening to your teaching that we serve a mean God. I said, well, sir, how do you mean that exactly? He said, I have learned that he means what he says and he says what he means. So we serve a mean God. We do. You can look at that in any light, however you want to, but you can look at it as a mean God whenever he killed Ananias and Sapphira, right? Because who did that? God did. Absolutely, he did that. So, but just like this scripture says in Hebrews 13:4, what does that say? What does that say?
Marriage is honorable in all.
And the bed undefiled. But who is a whoremonger? Are those people that are what we call gay?
Yes.
That's right. Whoremongers are gay people. And
adulterers.
And adulterers might be judged.
No, God will.
Now, if it's written, if that's written in the Word of God, what is God going to do if you commit adultery?
What he says.
He's going to do exactly what he says. I mean, every act of sexual immorality is going to be judged. You can't get away from it. There's just no two ways about it. Now, when that pastor called me and was chewing on me because I'm teaching this, I told him, I said, sir, I only have one thing to say to you. That little lady, while she was carrying that baby in her womb, should have had a pastor teaching her there is to be no sexual immorality outside of wedlock. I said, you are to be married? He said, well, she's not married. I said, well, see, now that's another problem. If you are her pastor and she's been going to church, she should hear you preach from the pulpit. You cannot get married. You cannot do anything unless you're married. There is to be absolutely no sex before you get married. Is that what God says? Now, after you get married, that's your wedding present. You know, you can have all the sex you want to between a husband and a wife. There's no problem. Did he say the marriage bed is undefiled? Yeah, sex is okay between a man and a woman's married. But if you ain't married, under the old covenant, what was the penalty for sin?
Death.
Stoned to death. So, I mean, God must not like that, huh? He does not like that at all. And so, you know, when we look at this and we see the sins that are happening, whenever I think it was three people that came to a healing school and they went back to their church and they began to tell people in their church at the healing rooms, wherever that is, I don't know I know several churches that have healing rooms, but when they started telling them that the problem is sin and is directly related to sickness, they just said, no, 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 God, that's not merciful. God would never do that. We're under grace. Let me tell you, he will do that. He will absolutely do that, and he will judge you, and he will, in fact, I'm going to show, when somebody says, God would never make a child sick, and I hear this all the time from different people, I don't care what the parent does, God would never make a child sick. or harm a child because of the parent's sin. Well, that does make sense, doesn't it? But when God says, my ways are not your ways, my ways are higher than your ways. 2 Samuel 12:1. And the Lord sent Nathan. And you notice who's doing this. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. Next verse. The one rich man had exceedingly many flock and herds. Okay, so he's giving him a picture. Verse 3. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished. And he grew up with him and with his children. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to give Cheryl this mic and have her read the scripture because she's got it right there.
Okay, this is verse 3. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter.
Okay, next verse.
And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him.
Okay, next verse.
And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Uh-oh.
Next verse.
And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.
Now, just a second right there. I want to stop and think a minute. Sometimes before you jump down somebody's throat because you think they done something wrong, you might ought to point one finger at them and see how many's pointing back at you. Because, you know, that same story could fit for every one of us, right? So be merciful, you know, when you start to get all upset with somebody that's doing something, be merciful. Okay, let's go on to the next verse, honey. In other words, he said you're going to restore this lamb four times. So he's, wow. So, okay, go ahead, honey. There we go.
And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
Wow. Next verse.
And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things.
Wow. Now stop and think about what he just said. He gave David everything, did he not? And then he said, and then just let's listen to what God's saying, how much he really does love us. And if that wasn't enough, in other words, I gave you Saul's houses. I gave you his wives. I gave you his money. I gave you his power. I gave you his empire. I gave you the kingdom. And if that wasn't enough, you know, I think about sometimes us as human beings, how we fuss about things when we don't get what we think we should have. We are so, you know, and we fail to realize what he has given us. He has given us everything. Most of us are fussing because we don't have what we think we need, or we're fussing because we're not healed whenever he already healed us on the cross 2,000 years ago. I mean, we're going out, we're not believing God for nothing. We just don't believe he'll do these things that he says he will do. But, you know, he will. He will do exactly what he said. And this story, as we read on down through here, let's go on a little further. After he gave you your master's wives.
Wherefore that hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon.
So here's a man that had a castle. He had money. He had wives, he had children, he had an empire, he had the kingdom, everything, and then he sent a man out to kill this man that he had had sex with his wife and got her pregnant. So she was pregnant and she was told him she's going to have a child. And so he's doing everything he can to cover up. And I think about us today. I think about the number of people in the church. And I'm going to tell you, I am so grateful for the grace of God. Aren't you glad that we live under grace? Because when I was an airline pilot in New York, I wasn't near as close to God as I am today, of course. But I still walk with God, and everybody knew it. So anytime anybody had a problem or they wanted to discuss the Bible, they always come see me. But I didn't know very much, but I knew a whole lot more than they did. You know, I had been a deacon in a Baptist church, and I had studied the Bible. I'd been a Sunday school teacher. I mean, I didn't know anything about healing back in those days, but I did know a little. And so this one couple, lovely couple, they had four children. And he was one of our pilots. He and I went to the same class together. And so he knew when I talked about Jesus that I was a man that knew God. So he came to see me one day and he said, Thurman, my wife and I want to sit down and talk with you. I said, okay. So we all got together over at his house. We're sitting there talking and I said, well, so how can I help you? He said, we need some advice. I said, well, okay, what kind of advice can I help you with? I mean, he was an airline pilot. I'm an airline pilot. I don't know what he wants. He said, what I want don't have anything to do with mine and your job. He said, my wife's pregnant. I said, so what's wrong with that? He said, well, we have four children already, and we really didn't want another one. So we knew you were a man of God, and we thought we would ask you, do you think it would be okay to get an abortion? See, I didn't know nothing. Y'all have to understand. So as we talked that night, I told them, I said, well, if you really don't want a child, maybe it would be better to abort it. And so I suggested that they abort that child, and they did. Are you glad we live under grace? Well, see, God could say, Thurman, that was lousy, rotten advice you give that couple. And it was. Very lousy, rotten advice. I would never do that today. Not even close. But y'all understand how we are in different places. 50 years ago, I was in a different place with God than I am today. Today, I would tell you, no, do not abort that child. But we can't afford that child. If you can't afford that child, then you do something. I'll help you. I'll do something, but do anything. But we ain't killing that baby. I mean, I now know that God is God, and he can do anything, and he can take care of anything. And I know how he hates us doing devastating things to his children. Now, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you know, it was several years before I realized what abortion really was. I didn't realize what it was, you know, until I began to see some of these videos they put out about how they tear the child apart in the mother's womb. When I began to see that, it ripped my heart out. I thought, Lord, I'm an accomplice to murder. Do you know that? Do you think God was happy with me, Paula? Not at all. But he was merciful when I repented and told him how sorry I was that I'd messed up so bad. He knew how bad I'd messed up. He knew what he was going to do later down the line. He knew he would be able to take a man that gives some advice that was rotten advice to kill a child, and he's still going to be able to use him mightily to save many other lives for his glory. And I'm so grateful for God. So grateful for his grace and his mercy, because, you know, here's David. David made a mistake just as bad. I mean, let's just read on here a little bit further there. Let's go down and let's...
Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife.
Think about what the Lord just said there. The sword shall never part from your house. Just think, before Jesus came on the scene, every human being in this room, including me, was under a generational curse. There's no such thing as pure people. Just like I've said so many times, there's only one thing wrong with this earth, and it's a bunch of rotten people. And that's you and me. Is that right? We're rotten. I mean, I just told you the rottenest thing I think I ever done in my life. I'm so ashamed that I did that, but I didn't know. I killed a child. You can't get no worse than that. But thank God for His mercy, right? Some of you, I would not ever dare ask anybody to share with me, but some of you may have been guilty of the same thing. You may have killed a child yourself. But thank God for Jesus. Every one of us, every human being on the face of the earth, I don't care who you are, if you are born on this earth, there's something, some sin somewhere that puts you under a generational curse. And if you're not under, if you don't know that the generational curse, you and your family will be sick and have the problems because this curse that David was spoken on King David, the Lord told David that the sword will never depart from your house because of what you've done. Is that quite a consequence to pay? Let's see what this curse talks about. Let's go on down. Let Cheryl read a little bit more. Read on, honey.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house.
Wait a minute. Behold, I, the Lord, will do what? People say, God, it's impossible for God to do evil. What did He just say?
I will raise up evil.
I will raise up evil. You know, the thing about it is, when you read the book, you need to read the book. You need to read it with an open heart and an open set of eyes. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them unto thy...
And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son.
Okay, now think about this. Without Jesus, which is where so many people are today, even people in the church don't even know this is available. And some of them committed adultery with a woman or a man in the church. Have you ever seen that? Sure, I have too. And they're fighting this fight, and they don't understand why they go off on a business trip. And when they go off on a business trip, their wife goes to town to buy groceries, and she gets raped on the street corner. Have we ever seen that? You ever wonder why these things happen? What caused this story that we're reading here? What caused this to happen? Why did these women, these wives, get raped on the street corners and the housetops? Whose sin caused that?
David's
sin. King David's sin. God said, because you did this, I will raise up evil against you in your own house. Did He not? So see, if you don't know how to break a generational curse, you can have that even in your own home today. Your wives and your daughters can be raped as they go to the grocery store, whatever. They can be, different things happen. And it's because of a generational curse. And if people don't know how to break that generational curse and claim what's available through the blood of Jesus, you can suffer and have problems. And your wives and your children will suffer. And there's all kinds of things will happen. And people's out there telling you there's no such thing as a generational curse. A generational curse is broken when you break it by faith in God's word, trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't do that, that generational curse is going to follow you forever. Now let's go on a little bit further here and let's see what else it said. What's the next thing it said?
For thou didst in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun.
Just think. You do something in secret. If you're doing a homosexual act with someone in secret, if you're having sex with someone in secret. You're lying to someone in secret. What's God say He's going to do? He's going to do it openly. Everybody's going to know. They're going to be able to see what's going on. What you've done in secret, I will do the same before all Israel to see. Read on.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die.
Okay, and what if God doesn't put away your sin? What happens? You die. What if you, as today, what if you don't come to the Lord and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I committed adultery with somebody. I did this. Or like me, when I, Lord, I killed a child when I was a young person. I literally advised that young couple to go ahead and have an abortion. I am a murderer. I'm guilty of murder. And I carried that until I finally come to the point years later that I realized Christ Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So when I claimed Christ redeemed me from the curse, now then I'm free. I'm free. So now all I got to do after I claim that is kick out the devil and say, devil, you have no more legal claim to me. I am a son of God. I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. Now I demand and command you to get out of my life and do not come back. Now then, thank you, Lord, I'm healed, and I'll never do such stupid things as that again. So I am now redeemed by the blood, and I'm not under those laws, and I'm not under those curses no more. I'm free. Somebody said, do you think that's going to work? I said, I guarantee it's going to work because it's written in God's Word. Now then, if I say, I hope it works, I didn't believe it, and it won't work. You can't come to God and try Him. You come to God and you use His Word in faith, 100% knowing His Word cannot fail. Right, Paula?
That's right.
Yeah, so that's exactly. But this young lady had been sick for
almost 20 years.
She finally started coming here at the request of her friend over here, Miss Betty. And whenever she started coming here and listening to what we're teaching, she got set free and she got healed after being sick for 20 years.
Praise
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, He is absolutely awesome. Okay, verse 14. Let's go to verse 14.
Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die.
Wow. The next verse, what does the next verse say?
And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord...
Wait a minute. For those people that say God would never do this, for everybody that says God would never do this, He would never hurt a child, who does it say did this?
The Lord.
The Lord struck the child.
That Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick.
And then the next verse.
David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth.
But he didn't have Jesus. That's the difference. He didn't have the redemption from the curse. He was guilty. What does the next verse say?
And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them.
Read on.
And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died.
Okay, who put all this on this family?
The Lord.
Isn't it amazing that God did it? Now, did the actual scripture literally say, and the Lord did all this?
Yes.
Did it actually say the Lord struck the child with sickness? So when somebody tells you that how cruel it would be for God to do something like that today, they don't know the scripture. I mean, we read it. I tell you what. If you don't want to see your child get sick, and I've seen this probably 1,000 times at least in the last 20 years. Children were sick. I had a man come in here the other day with three little girls, probably 10 down to three. He said, I understand. I had never seen him before. And I said, sir, what is your name? He told me. And I said, yeah, I've never seen you here. You've been here before? He says, no, but somebody told me you have a healing ministry. And so I brought my three girls out here because I need them to get healed. They're all three have asthmas and allergy. I said, okay. I said, how long have they had the problem? He said, about 6 months. I've had them to all kinds of doctors, and the doctors can't help them. I said, so where's your wife? Why didn't she come with you today? He said, well, me and my wife are not getting along very well. And I said, and how long has this been going on? He looked at me and said, about 6 months. I said, you know, isn't that amazing that in the 6 months when you and your wife can't get along, your three daughters started getting sick? He said, you don't think there's a relation? I said, no, I don't think there is. I know there is. I said, I've seen God do this over and over and over. And of course, I always go back to this one in David. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Because David committed adultery with Bathsheba, it says, and the Lord struck the little child with sickness and it died in 1 week. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
It didn't say the devil did it, did it?
No.
It said God did it. He's in control, total control. So I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm not even going to pray for you. I said, do you want those girls to be well? He said, of course I do. He said, they struggle and can't breathe and they're having all kinds of trouble. I said, it's going to get worse until they die. He said, so what do I need to do? I said, you need to repent right here before God and tell God how sorry you are that you have not been getting along with your wife, because God told you to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Is that what he said? Is that how a man's supposed to love his wife? Yes, love her like Christ loved the church. So I said, you repent, tell God you're sorry that you hadn't been getting along with your wife, and that you will do everything in your power to love that woman just like you did when you first married her. I said, if you will do that, I guarantee God will heal. I said, if you and your wife will start getting along and start loving each other, you'll see very quickly that those children get well. I've seen this, ladies and gentlemen, at least 1,000 times in my life. I've seen it. Oh, yeah. Cheryl says, tell you all about Australia. Here a while back, we were on the Sid Ross show, and it showed in Australia. It showed all over the world. We have had phone calls from everywhere. But there was a man, 45 years old, from Australia, he wrote us email. He said, when I was 7 years old, I was totally healthy. But at seven, I came down with eczema all over my body. And he said, I have been to the finest doctors in the world in the last 35 years. He said, I'm now 45 years old, and there ain't nobody can heal this disease. Nobody. He said, I have suffered with this all these years since I was seven. He said, until I was seven, I was healthy. I told him, I said, sir, you came up under a curse when you were seven because somebody committed sin, mother, daddy, but somebody. Because the curse causes cannot come to rest. So I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take Jeremiah 33:3, which is where the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. So I said, take Jeremiah 33:3, call on the Lord and tell him you need to know what caused this sickness to come upon you. And I said, he'll tell you. He said, well, how long do I have to pray it? I said, until he answers. But no telling. Only God knows how quick he's going to answer. Sometimes God answers quickly. Sometimes he answers today, tomorrow, the next day. But I said, if you stay with it, he will answer you. The next day, we got another email from him. He said, Thurman, I've never seen anything like it. He said, I went and read that Jeremiah 33:3, and it does say, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. He said, I have never heard the audible voice of God until today. But he said, when I asked the Lord, what caused this sickness to come upon me when I was seven? He said, as soon as I told him, I said, when you ask him, always ask him with thanksgiving. Don't ever ask God for nothing without thanking him for it. I said, Scripture says that, right? Do all things in prayer with thanksgiving. So do you think he means that? Yes, he does. He loves for us to thank him and praise him. So I told him, I said, yes. So anyway, he said, I asked the Lord what caused my problem. And he said, the Lord answered me immediately. He said, the reason this sickness came upon you is because your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were 7 years of age. That's why it came upon you. He said, Lord, there's three of us kids at home. How come it come upon me and not one of the other ones? He said, because you were your daddy's favorite. And it's hurt daddy worse for you to have it than anyone else. So he said, I thought, wow. So I picked up the phone and called my mother. My daddy's already deceased. So I said, Mother, did daddy commit adultery with a woman when I was 7 years of age? He's 45 now. She said, Son, nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. You know, when nobody knows, who do we think God is, huh? And he has a good memory, brother. You know that? Unfortunately for you and me, it's way too good, huh? You know, we can laugh about me and him, but we can laugh about all of us. Because I'm telling you, there's not one single thing any of us have done, any thought we've ever thought or anything else that he doesn't know what we thought. If we did it or didn't do it, you can't hide nothing from God. So when he remembered 45 years, 35 years ago or whatever it was, 38 years ago, what this man's dad did, it's no problem. So I told him, I said, now then that you know what it is, you can repent of those sins. You can break the curse over your dad. The curse is over you. I said, now you can claim the redemption from the curse, break the curse. Then you can kick the devil out and you can command him to leave. And I said, you can get well. Just stay with it and you can get well. I think, wow, I haven't told this little girl's story in a while, but today I'm going to tell it. You see this beautiful little girl that was singing up there with her a while ago? Janessa. How old are you now, honey?
11.
She's 11. You see how nice she got around and beautiful she moves. And does it look like there's ever anything wrong with her? Would you believe that when she was a little bitty tiny girl, about 6 months old, she was told, or her parents were told by a doctor, that she would never walk? She had a disease that could not be cured, that she would never walk. And so her real mother and dad took her to CPS and says, we do not want this child. They're going to give her away. But they don't know God. Don't know God. So they don't want a child. The child's going to be handicapped. We don't want her. Give her to somebody else. So the people called Kim and Scott. Said, we knew y'all were looking for a little girl. Would y'all like to have this little girl? Yes, we'd love to have her. So they just go running right down there and pick up this little beautiful little thing about this big that ain't going to never be able to walk. And they bring her to us. And we all get together and we claim the redemption from the curse. We're redeemed because this mother and daddy's walking in obedience to God's word. They're not under a curse. They are redeemed from the curse and they know the scripture. And so we know the scripture. So we all got together and we prayed. We broke the curse. We kicked out the devils and thanked the Lord for his complete healing of this little girl and praised him and worshiped him that he's going to heal her and make her totally, completely normal and well. And within just 2 or 3 months, she's crawling. Then she's standing up walking. Then she's running. And today she's 11 years old and ain't nothing wrong with her. And they got their little girl. And the little girl got a godly mother and daddy, which she won't never be sorry of that as long as she lives. She will never be sorry she has a godly mama and daddy. Every child should have the problem of having a godly mother and father. But so many of the ones that are living even in the church today are not godly. And then we wonder why we have so much sickness, why we have so much problem. When we have people that come here and we show you from Scripture Just like I've showed you today from Scripture, how God afflicted a man. Now then, the curse over the family, you know, if you read that, if you continue to read, you'll find out that David's children, which he had 8 wives. Now, to get along in a house with one woman takes some work. Because she's got her ways and I got my ways. But if I had to get along with 7 more, like Cheryl, I don't know what I would do. But that's the situation King David had. I'm just saying that because all of you in here realize how much problem you have with just the one you got, right? Have you ever had trouble with the one you're married to? Oh, yeah. I don't care who you are. There's times that the male and the female just don't go down the same path together. So when you take 6 or 8 of them and put them together, but just think, because of whose sin? David's sin. His wives didn't do this, but they suffered the consequences. They suffered the consequences of what David committed. David committed adultery and murder, and by doing this, he put himself and his entire family, and the Lord says, and the sword will never leave your house. And of course, as you read on down through there, you'll find out where David's children, they cursed each other, they fought each other, they raped each other, they murdered each other. I mean, every kind of sin and death and destruction you can imagine happened in David's house. Did it not? And he says, that curse will never leave your house, David, because of your sin. Let me tell you, I don't think there's any woman or man in the world worth that. Do you? So why in God's name, just like we always, you know, Cheryl and I eat out a lot, and we see a lot of young ladies working in restaurants that their husband has left them. I mean, we see this all the time. It's so sad. And some of them had 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and some of them want some of the kids, and some of them don't. Some of them don't want the kids. You can take the kids. I don't want them. You know what it does for a child when a child is listening and the daddy says, I don't want Kathy. I don't want her. You can have her. I don't want her. You know what that does to a child? That happened to one of my little daughters. I call all these girls that work for me my daughters. But when I found Kathy, Kathy was living in her car with a little tiny baby girl, and nobody wanted her. Nobody. I told her, I'll take you. I'll lead you to Jesus. I'll tell you about Jesus. I'll give you a job. I'll give you a place to live. You can come to my house. I'll take care of you. And today, Kathy is 39 years old. Her daughter is off at college. She's a beautiful girl. She's memorized over 3,500 scriptures. Wow. What can you do if you know Jesus? What can you do?
Anything.
All you got to do is believe. I mean, it's amazing that little tiny thing. That little tiny baby. I remember when when Caitlin was that long, when I brought him to my house, and Cheryl and I, wasn't long after that till Cheryl come into my life, somewhere along there. But anyway, we brought those kids into our house. We've raised those kids. We've paid for their schooling. We've sent them to school. We've done everything. We've helped them. And Kathy will tell me, every once in a while, Kathy will just walk up to me, and I may be in a hurry doing something. I start to go in her office, and she'll just stand up, and she says, Papa T. And I just, bam, and she puts her arms around me, and she just puts her arms around me, and sometimes even kisses me on the cheek, and she says, Papa T, I want to tell you how much I love you. You know, every man should have daughters like that, right?
Amen.
We should have girls that love us because they know that we're there to do good things for them and not to harm them. But nobody wanted her. Even the man that got her pregnant didn't want her after he found out she was pregnant. You know, I'm not a violent man, but you know, I'd like to punch him out. You know what I mean, Mike? Yeah, but I have this to think about. Turn him over to the Lord, and the Lord will judge him righteously. So it'll always be righteous if you turn him over to God. But that just breaks my heart when I see people in the church that throw away their family. That just blows me away. But you know, when we look at the scripture, there's so much scripture, so much to be learned in what we looked at today. The curse comes upon you because of sin. Men and women in the church go out and have sex with people they're not married to in the church. And then they wonder why their kids, wonder why problems comes along with their kids, wonder why their daughters go out and have babies out of wedlock. God was watching. He knew everything that was happening. You're going to reap what you sow, and you ain't going to lack it. I can tell you for sure. But that curse followed David. That curse followed him. And you have no idea, just like this precious little thing up here on the front row. When we broke that curse, we did it all with words. Amen. We took God's word and we spoke those words and we broke that curse over that child. She's redeemed by the blood. The mother and daddy are already walking holy and pure before God because they know the Lord and they obey him and do what he says. And by breaking that curse and kicking that devil out and commanding him to never come back again, that devil had to leave that child. And once that curse was broken, that child became a normal child from that day. And every day she began to get to where she could ride. Today she runs out there and gets what big old white horse out there and she'll jump up on his back and ride him all over the place. And for a little girl that wasn't never going to be able to walk, I believe the doctor missed it. Isn't he awesome? Yeah, oh, she's got a picture of her horse right there. Wow. Yeah, she loves to ride horses. Now then, what do we need in the church? Godly men and women. Godly men and women. Men that will pay attention to what they're doing. Men that will pay attention to where you're looking. Because something else, gentlemen, I have learned the hard way with men. I learned this lesson a long, long time ago, but I learned it from Dr. Ben Smith. He didn't have a clue what he was teaching me or what I was learning. But he says, men, you should never look at a woman anywhere except in her eyes. Don't look at her body, upper, lower, nothing. Always look at a woman in her eyes. And so I learned from him, that's where I'm supposed to look at a woman. So when I look at a woman, I try to always look in their eyes. I've done that for years. Now then, after a few years of being in the ministry myself, I've learned those men that don't do that, those men that every time a woman walks in, they look at her breast or they look at her butt, whatever they look at that's not in her face, and they'll lust. And what that will do, that will bring prostate cancer on you. Isn't that something? How many men do you know in the church had prostate problems? Multitudes of them. How many of them know looking at that woman in the wrong place is what did that? Almost none of them. Just like a woman. When a woman gets into bitterness and unforgiveness toward another woman, it'll bring breast cancer on her. Every time. Breast cancer. We've seen that healed by the multitudes, haven't we, Ken?
Oh, yeah, thousands.
Thousands. But see, you're supposed to purify yourself. Be holy, because we're sons and daughters of God. Is that true?
Amen.
Yeah. Wow. So in this little episode that we went through here today, David had the problem because of he was the culprit. He was the one that committed all the problems. David's the one that sinned, right? David's the one, I'm sure, when he walked up on the roof of the castle and looked down and he saw this beautiful woman. Her husband's out there fighting the battle. He looks down and sees this gorgeous woman. He said, well, I got to have that. So he says, sent one of his servants, said, go get her and bring her to my bedroom. I am sure when she walked into his bedroom, when he told, take your clothes off, we're going to have sex. I'm sure she looked at him and said, oh, king, I am a married woman. You have no legal right to me. I'm married to one of your officers, one of your soldiers. He said, that don't mean nothing. Right now, his flesh is overcoming him. And he don't care what anybody says. He got one thing on his mind. He wants sex with this beautiful woman. You know, when Paul tells us we need to learn to control our vessels, if you haven't learned that yet, you need to really get a hold of that. Because it's going to make you sick. If you don't do what God says, it's going to, these problems and these symptoms and everything that we had from the scripture that we're looking at, those problems never have changed. We still got the same problems today we had before. That's just like that man that I told you about a few minutes ago when him and his wife were having that problem. I told him, I said, if y'all will get back in your love walk, your kids will get well. I thought about the day that I was down at DFW Airport and her grandmother walked up to me and said, Thurman, my 16-year-old grandson's in Cook's Medical Center with cancer. 16 years old with cancer. Will you go pray for him? I said, sure. I had learned these principles. So I go over to Cook's Medical Center. The daddy was in there with him. They had just given this 16-year-old boy a chemo treatment. I looked at the young boy, and he didn't look too good. I asked the doctor, I said, Doctor, how is he responding to the treatment? He says, not good at all. Not good at all. I said, so does that mean he might die? He said, there is always that possibility. I said, okay. So I walked over to the daddy and I said, sir, where is your wife? If this boy is in this kind of shape, where is your wife? He said, me and her are not getting along. So he said, she never comes when I'm here. I said, okay. I said, can you call her? He said, yes. I said, let me talk to her. I got her on the phone. I said, ma'am, this is Thurman Scrivener. I want to tell you I'm down here at your mother's request to come down and pray for this boy, which has cancer. And when I get here, I find out from the doctor, he is not responding well at all. And I asked the husband where you were, and he said you and him weren't getting along. I said, I really need to talk to you and him together, and I need to talk right now together. And I said, it's all going to be wrapped around your son, whether he lives or dies. She said, okay, I'll come right down. So she did. 30 minutes, she was there. I began to explain to them Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I said, now here is a place where if you do not forgive from your heart, in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, I said, if you do not forgive from your heart, you'll find here where the master will turn you and your spouse and your children and your assets over to the tormenting spirits. Who in here would like for God to turn you over to a tormenting spirit? I don't. Those are demons that he's talking about. See, God runs the show. He controls the demons. That's why people have such bad luck trying to cast out demons. You don't get rid of the sin first. If you don't get rid of the sin first, you can't kick them out. If you kick them out, they'll be back in before they get to the door. So anyway, when I sat down and talked with her and told her all that about she had to forgive her husband. And I told him, I said, sir, you got to forgive her. I said, if y'all don't forgive each other, I said, this boy has already been turned over to the tormenting spirit by the Lord himself. And I showed it to him in the scripture. And they said, I've read that scripture, but I didn't know it meant what it says. How many people do you know that don't believe the Bible says what it says? Far too many of us. But it does mean exactly what it says. So anyway, I told them, I said, well, y'all are going to have to forgive each other or this boy could possibly die. And she said, if I forgive him, what do you think is going to happen? I said, the boy's going to get well. I guarantee it. She said, if I forgive my husband, you're going to guarantee me my son's going to get well from cancer? I said, yes, ma'am. And if you and your husband will walk in love, I'll guarantee he'll never have it again. Never. Wow. She looked at those scriptures again. She said, you know, I've never seen this, but that is what that says. He will turn us over to the tormentor. And so she said, it's not worth it. She said, honey, I forgive you. Isn't it amazing when people understand what the consequences are? It's not quite so hard to forgive.
That's right.
So she forgave her husband, and I said, now, sir, you forgive her? And they did. I said, I want you two to hug each other and kiss just like you did on your wedding night. I said, I want you just to really forgive each other. And so they did that. And I said, now then, I can pray for the boy. So I go over to lay my hands on the boy, and just as I start to touch the boy, the doctor says, sir, don't touch him. I just gave him a chemo treatment. I said, okay, can I lay hands on the cover that he's under? And he said, yes, as long as you don't touch him. Okay. Put those two hands on him. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 says, these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name you shall cast out demons. Is that what it says? And then you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we got rid of the sin. The mother and daddy forgive each other. I laid hands on my part. How hard does that look like that was to do, Franz? Was that very hard? That didn't look hard at all, did it? Isn't that amazing? When God tells us to do something, that's why you have to know the whole scripture. You can't just know one or two verses. You got to know the Word of God. You got to spend time with God. You got to let God be living in you and you in Him. And I'm telling you, if you're a 18, 20, 25, 30-year-old young man, you're going to be like the one that he told you the story about a while ago. You think you're going to come here and you're going to read the Word of God for 6 months and you're going to do the same things I do. You got another thing coming because it took me 10 years to get it. 10 years. And so I hope it don't take you that long. But if it does, get ready because it may. It may take you 15 years. I'm still working on things myself that I've been working on for 20 and 30 and I ain't there yet. But I'm going to get there because I ain't going to give up. Amen. So anyway, after we got all the sins taken care of and I laid hands on him and commanded the devil to leave, you can't see nothing in the spirit world happen, but it happened. You know, when I said, I command you, devil of hell, according to that scripture, to come out of that boy and leave him and go to the abyss and never enter him again in Jesus' name. I said, okay, he'll get well because God made you a promise. That mother said, sir, do you have a business card? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she says, does it have a cell phone number on it where I can reach you? I said, yes. She said, can I have one? I said, yes. I said, why do you want the card? She said, because I'm going to call you and tell you what happens. I said, okay, I want to know. So I left. It was 2 o'clock. I think that was, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That afternoon when I left Cook's Medical Center. 4 o'clock the next day. This is 26 hours later. A boy that was terminal with cancer. Mother called me and said, the doctors have just released our son from the hospital. We're going home with no cancer in his body whatsoever. When the curse causes shall not come to rest, you think God means that?
Yes, he does.
Yes. In other words, he will never give you a spanking. He loves you so much, he will never give you a spanking unless you need it. And chances are, it's just like it was when you had children. You know, your children, when you finally got around to spanking them, they were probably about 4 times overdue. Yeah. Is that right, Scott? You were merciful? They didn't think so. Y'all know where I'm coming from there. You know, sometimes when you give your children, I think about sometimes whenever our children do something. My own son, whenever he was growing up, and I only give him about 4, 5, 6 spankings in his whole life, not very many. But anyway, whenever he got grown, he said, Dad, I only got one thing to say about you. He said, you were too much of a wimp. He said, I ain't going to be that way with my children. He said, I'm not going to let them get away with the things you let me get by with. He said, you should have spanked me many more times than you did. Here a while back, I was over at the house, one of his little girls, his oldest little daughter, was doing something. And I'm sitting there watching thinking, if that was me, I would bust her bottom, I guarantee. And he lets her get completely by. And he said, if you don't straighten up now, I'm going to get you. And she said, oh, Daddy, you wouldn't give me a spanking, would you? And so she finally walked away. And after she walked away, I looked at him. I said, yeah, sure. You whip, you. You said I was too much of a whip. I said, them kids get by with far more than you did. And God, that's the way God is with us. Aren't we glad, Miss Jackie, that he lets us get by with lots of things? But whenever he does, we don't want a spanking from God, do we? No, we want to walk in obedience to His Word and do what He says. So from that scripture that we've talked about today, if somebody comes to you and tells you that you went to the Living Savior Church and they told you that sickness and sin are directly related, are you going to remember enough of this to be able to take them to the place and show them? Sickness and sin are directly related. In fact, we went down to a teaching the other day, and we were listening to Henry Wright and here in Dallas, and he said he believed that about 85 to 90% of all sickness is caused by sin. But he won't go there for 100%. But I'm going to tell you, it's 100%. You know, if you don't sin, you won't be sick. You will not be sick. Because God said in His Word, I'm going to quote you these scriptures. Exodus 15:26. I want you to look at Exodus 15:26. And I want Cheryl to read that for me. Exodus 15:26. What does that say? Let me get it up there. Okay, turn the mic up.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I, God, will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Okay, from that one verse under law, if you obey God and do what He says, how much sickness does He say He'll take away?
All.
Isn't that something? But what do you got to do? You got to be diligent. You got to seek Him. And you got to obey. Is that what He said? And if you do that, then... Okay, Exodus 23:25. Yeah. Exodus 20.
And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
Okay. Then that one right there, if you serve Him and do what He says, how much sickness does He promise to take away?
All.
Wow. So if you obey Him, how much sickness are you going to have?
None.
Okay. Deuteronomy 7:15. We'll show you three verses. And then we'll quit on this. Deuteronomy 7:15.
And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
So in that case right there, if you obey Him and do what He says, how much sickness is He going to take away from you, Miss Paula?
All.
Now, do you like that girl?
Love it.
Okay. I can pick on you because you're one of the newest healed girls in the place.
Yes, sir.
You've been sick for 20 years. You're so grateful now you're well.
Very grateful.
Oh, my goodness. You know, when you've been sick like this poor girl was, and going to a good church, but they just didn't know about healing. They did not know about healing. And so, wow, all those years. And then Miss Betty drug you out here, I think.
I haven't left.
Just like by the hair of the head, she reached up, dragged you out here. You know, but were you resistive when she told you to come out and listen to us talk about healing? Huh? You were a little bit resistive.
Yes.
You wasn't too sure it was real, were you?
No.
I told her I'd quit fussing at her if she'd come one time. I would not ever say another word.
If she just come
she
one
came
time.
Came and I watched, and her mouth was open the whole time.
It's been a year, a little over a year now.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Miss Paula, there's two kinds of people. There's those that hate me and those that you love me. So you see, when you teach the Word of God, we preach exactly what it says, and a lovely woman like her has been sick 20 years gets healed. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Her husband was here the other day when he said, I can't keep up with this woman no more. Wow. So if we will obey the Lord and do what He says, I mean, read His Word. And that's probably the biggest area we mess up in. We don't read His Word. We don't know His Word. I got tickled a while ago. I tickled a young man back there in the back. I sat down beside when I first came in. We were talking about scripture. And I told him, do you know any scripture? And he said, yes. And I said, good. Quote me your favorite 100. Ooh, that changed the way he looked at things. My favorite 100. Well, maybe I got a favorite 2 or 3. That I told him, I said, that won't get it. Does God, when God says, study to show yourself approved unto God, what do you think he means? He means for you to study his word, right? Hide it in your heart. And if you'll hide his word in your heart, and he'll let you get by with 2 or 3 for a while. But after a while, 2 or 3 ain't going to be enough. He's going to want 4 or 5. And then that ain't going to be enough. He's going to want 10 or 15 or 20. I remember this lady. She had these sores all over her face. School teacher. Think about Miss Jackie when I think about this woman. School teacher. Wonderful lady, loved God with all her heart, but she had no idea about the healing power of Jesus. So she done something that was very dangerous one day. She did exactly what Paula did. She listened to a friend to get her to come to a different kind of church that teaches different things. And so she went, and this preacher was teaching on healing. Well, she started writing down all this stuff. So she kept coming to, you know, listening. She finally got 35 healing scriptures written down. Okay, every day she goes to school, drive down the road and come to a light. When the light's red and she stops, she had one scripture every day. She'd read that scripture, and then the light turned green. She'd lay it down and go on. Get to the next light that's red, pick it up. She read a scripture a day until she had all 35 of those scriptures committed to memory. After she had 35 scriptures committed to memory, she said one day, okay, Lord, I have 35 healing verses committed to memory. Now then, next Thursday, when I get home from school in the afternoon, I'm going to have no more bumps on my face in Jesus' name. I thought, why did she pick that day? Why did she pick Thursday after school? But that's where her faith was. So that morning, when she's getting ready to go to school, she goes in, looks in the mirror, and she thought, well, they're better than they were, but she still got them. She goes to school. She comes home in the afternoon, comes running in, and goes in, looks in the mirror, and guess what? They're all gone. She's totally healed. A final scripture we're going to stop on. Daniel 1:17. Daniel 1:17, a friend of mine, a good young man, young, good Christian boy, knows Jesus. Cheryl and I know his parents out in Mexico. He's a good boy. He loves God with all his heart. Hardworking boy. He finally met a young lady. I mean, we've all prayed for him, a wife. And he met her at IHOP, yeah, up in Kansas, I think it is, where the Kansas City. But she is Spanish. And she doesn't speak really very good English at all. And he doesn't speak very good Spanish. So they wanted to get a language that they could both get. So she wants to learn to speak English. So she found this scripture in her Bible. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Read it, honey.
As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams.
So she found that scripture, and she read that verse every day for 1 month. Every day. And asked the Lord to give her perfect English. All wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. And the morning of the fourth week, when she woke up that morning, God had downloaded into her English language, and she can speak English as fluent as anybody you ever seen. Use that verse right there. Now, if you go to God and ask him to do something, what is the limitations?
Nothing.
Yes, the limitation is right here. Yeah, it's us. Whatever we can believe him for, because for God, there is no such thing, is there, Miss Paula?
No.
No, he has no limitations whatsoever. Mike, God don't have no limitation, does he? He can do anything you can believe him for, right? Guaranteed. Just think, who would have ever thought? I probably never would have even thought of that. Lord, let's look for a scripture that we could stand on to get this woman to be able to speak perfect fluent English. Somebody said, you're crazy, let her go to school. Now, that's where we live. But she went to God and read that verse every day for a month, and then she could speak perfect, fluent English. Wow. So our God, the one that we serve, that so many people say, won't do this, he won't do evil, he won't put evil on people, he can't create evil, he will never make you sick, he will never kill you, he would never kill a child. This scripture today we went over kind of throws all that out the window, doesn't it? Wow. Wow. Father, I praise you and thank you for the word. I thank you that I live in an era that I have the word of God, that I can read it and study it. So I can know what you say and not what somebody else says. I want to know what you say. And Lord, by knowing what you say, that's how we get people healed. We get people to repent of their sins and claim the redemption from the curse. And we kick out the devils and they get healed. And they get healed by the multitudes. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being the merciful, mighty God that you are. How wonderful you are. Lord, we're so grateful that we serve you, the King of Kings, which is nothing impossible with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.